This is the podcast you're looking for.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and the traitor. Take it away.
Coffee with Kenobi presents Rebel Reactions with Danzy and Corey Club.
I have you now.
To battle the Empire, a Rebel Alliance will form. The Jedi will rise, and you will know the power of the Force. Star Wars Rebels, coming in 2014 to Disney XD.
Hello and welcome to our very first Coffee with Kenobi Star Wars Rebels Reactions. Corey and I will review, discuss, and analyze the new animated series Star Wars Rebels and share our reflections with our listeners. For our first show, we will discuss the mini-trailer for the new series, and joining us is our good friend, who also coincidentally holds the record for the most guest appearances on Coffee with Kenobi, Trisha Barr of Fangirl Blog, Del Rey Savudu, StarWars.com, and Star Wars Insider. Welcome back, Trisha.
Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to talk Rebels.
Absolutely. So as we know, yesterday at 7:30 Central Time, 8:30 Eastern Time, what was the name of the show? Mighty Mike or something like that?
Mighty Med, right?
So, yeah, that sounds right. We saw our first glimpse of Star Wars Rebels. It was just 15 seconds or so, but man, my heart was pounding. I was sitting in a chair so I couldn't see the TV, and my son Peyton, I said to him, "Hey, fast forward through so we can get to this, but I don't want to catch it halfway through or I don't want to hear it." And he goes, "All right, I'll mute it. You sit over there." And he rewound it and found the perfect spot when that Spider-Man commercial was over so I could watch it all the way through. And before I gush and rant and rave about mine, what did you two think about it?
I thought it was really cool. Obviously, it was very, very quick. It didn't show a whole lot. It gave us a feel for, you know, possibly the animation that it's going to kind of lean towards. Obviously, had a very strong A New Hope presence with the giant ship flying in. Definitely had that feel to it. And it does. It gets you all excited. You're like, "Oh my gosh, this is really cool." You know, we all kind of these thoughts in our minds of what it could be, and we're finally getting a glimpse of possibly the way that it's put together. So it was really cool. I thought it was a nice way to start off.
It's interesting because I saw it and I'm like, wow. Talk about having the Empire dominate the scene, except yes. You totally felt like it was A New Hope. So, it's interesting to see how they, you know, took the sort of that moment in A New Hope when it's, yeah, the Empire's here and you're like, wow, I feel like I'm in the rebellion. So it was an interesting way that they laid that out. Did you guys see the screenshots that Pete Morrison from Lightsaber Rattling put together on his website?
Absolutely.
I love Pete because I'm like, oh, I know he'll figure all this stuff out.
Yeah, they already have. I'll take a chance to plug their new podcast. Sure. Go to lightsaberrattling.com and listen. They have a nice little show about the trailer too. But yeah, I saw that and the way it turned and the TIE fighter and then, of course, underneath, we saw the ghost. It sure appeared to be the ghost.
The thing that fascinates me is, and I saw them, I had it on my DVR. So I'm like, I know there's something on the back of that Star Destroyer. And so there's those little, they're little spaceships or fighters or something parked under the Rebels logo. And that's what fascinates me. I was like, what are those things? I've been scouring the internet looking for ships that look like it. I'm like, old McQuarrie art, you know, because this is, you know, it's based on his designs. It's interesting because there's a totally different look than the animation for the Clone Wars in just the feel of it, the way it looks animated-wise, which would be cool. I like to see a different style. I like to see different art like that. And so I really was intrigued by that little like kernel of information that was in there. I'm like, so what are those things back there?
That's a well said kernel of information because we just got a snippet. It's just like every time there's something new Star Wars, we get so excited. I didn't have a high expectations because I just knew we were going to see something. You mentioned the animation. A few things popped into my mind when we first saw it. The Star Destroyer looks spectacular. I had a hard time juggling the fact that it didn't quite look like the animated style of the Clone Wars, which, to be fair, I mean, they spent so much money on it, and they spent years and years developing that technology and getting it to a certain place. And I think it's been fairly well discussed that it's not going to be the same animated style. So I might have a hard time with that because I just enjoyed the Clone Wars so much. That being said, it really harkened back to A New Hope, so much so that we'll just jump into the second topic I wanted to talk about. This, the fan reactions have been split. One of the main things I've noticed, and I actually agree with this too, the voiceover of the dude that was talking about Star Wars, you know, he sounded like he was one of the turtles from Finding Nemo. Who knew Pixar would make a guest appearance on the show? That rubbed me the wrong way, and I know that's how they sell shows during that block of time on Disney XD. They're geared towards a certain younger audience, so I'm pretty sure that's why they did it. I'm sure Dave Filoni's not going to have Crush, you know, surfing through the remnants of the Jedi Temple or anything like that. So I actually did something this morning. It was sort of by mistake. My computer was muted, and I watched it again with no sound. Again, not on purpose, and I think I enjoyed it more.
Interesting. Like you said, Dan, that block of airtime there it's going to be a quick, you know, 30-second, you know, snapshot of what it's going to be. But here's the other thing I thought of. The initial A New Hope, when the words are done scrolling, we see the Imperial ship come flying in, and that sequence is so long. It takes so long to get through that whole ship. It's, you know, we see everything. And then on this one, it's so fast, and it's almost like it's sped up as far as, you know, the way they're kind of putting together. It's about to show you just a snippet, but I mean, and then you get that really high pitched, you know, voiceover where it kind of updates a little bit too. It's you know, animation and things is, it's kind of like it's A New Hope, but like for today's audience, because it's so fast, everyone wants something so quickly done, and it's like it's just thrown in there, which I mean, there has to be, but I think
that messed with me a little bit. I think that's why I was a little bit thrown, because you know, when you see that Star Destroyer, and it looks like they're over Tatooine. I mean, there's already speculation about what planet may or may not be. But one of the things, well, you know, I'm going to say my thought on that. We'll edit that in. But Tricia, what have you thought about the fan reactions so far?
Well, it's interesting because I think people get expectations of what they want to see, and then it doesn't necessarily deliver. But I really felt like we were only going to get sort of a tone. They're very early in the animation process. They wrote the stories and they have to animate them. And so it's really was going to be hard to get a lot. I think there's a lot in this little snippet. People wanted to maybe see faces or get more information, and, you know, or a planet or a location. And so people react to it. There's also the people are still like, well, where's the Clone Wars bonus content? You know, so some people are just inclined to just be mad because this is replacing them. No, they're just mad because when a show goes away, there's a grieving process. And when you know a show's ending, you can grieve through the show. But for the Clone Wars, it was all very abrupt. So we still have people that are sort of going through that grieving process. And you see it on Twitter and on Facebook. And then there are people who just have really high expectations. We've seen this, you know, at D23, people thought they were going to get a lot more. I know Lucasfilm thought they managed those expectations with their announcement. I don't think they did.
No.
And I think that just, you know, they put it out in a press brief, but I think we're on their page, but I don't know if everybody necessarily goes there. So, you know, and then even then, sometimes you just have to understand that people are going to have expectations because every other show or TV show or movie is delivering in certain ways, and that's how their expectations are. So now everybody's going to expect the Batman Superman announcement and the Guardians of the Galaxy showing up you know what I'm saying?
So yeah. Now Tom Hiddleston showing up.
So they've created this sort of like, they've created this dynamic where people are just sort of in a frenzy and they expect it because they've been given it on. And so they want everything to be like that. And so, you know, everybody was watching this. For a moment, I was sort of like, okay, well, I was hoping for more, but I think that was reasonable what they gave us for where they are. Did anybody else see the lights that look like the bad robot guy at the when the engines light up on the logo?
Yes.
Because I was like, is that Bad Robot?
I wondered about that too. I thought it was like the thing that used to be on the THX. The guy comes out and turns the shaker upside down and makes the cow noises.
Oh, the little robot. Remember that? Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, when it plugs the THX in right before you're watching a movie and then it's a Tesla surround sound. But I know it wasn't. If anything, it would be Bad Robot.
He lit up like the eyes do when the little, when it comes at the end of the show. I was like, it sort of looks like the Bad Robot eyes.
I agree with that. I can see that. And you talked about the idea of managing expectations, and it reaches a point where if everything is huge and over the top and spectacular and fireworks galore, then it's not exciting. I think they're pretty smart, and honestly, they gave me more than I expected. I thought we'd see the Rebels logo and some sort of cool voiceover with Tom Kane or someone, and then coming April 2014, and I didn't think we'd see characters, like a flash of characters. We got to see a ship and, like you said, a tone or a feel. Got a little bit of the animated style. I thought that was pretty cool. I will say, I am curious to hear what both of your hopes are for the series, because for me, it's in a perfect little period. We're not still 100% sure, and I'm not even going to address the rumors as far as where it may or may not be placed. But my hope for the series is that we have an entertaining, quality show that Dave Filoni is nurturing, much like he did the Clone Wars. And I also hope that they don't traipse too closely to A New Hope. Some people don't want them to do an immediate, oh, here's what happened right after Revenge of the Sith. I'm not as upset if they go in that direction. They're probably going to achieve a balance. But I hope they just do little hints, little cookie crumbs to A New Hope, but nothing really until Star Wars Rebels runs its course. What do you two think?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to, hopefully it will stay kind of its own thing. It kind of plays around with this free time that it has as far as what we've seen so far. I hope it's a little bit more, I don't want to call it more adult, but I want to say, maybe less kiddish Clone Wars, but not so that the, kids couldn't enjoy it. But I think maybe the characters would be a little older, maybe. Things like that, maybe a little grittier, maybe a little more darker, because it is a darker time, I think, for the Rebels. And like you say, it's kind of like a banding together of people, so it's going to have that feel of kind of in the shadows. And even the, like you guys said, from the little teaser we had, it was kind of showed that, the ship took off and from Empire Strikes Back, it was kind of the Millennium Falcon was coming off of the giant ship of the trash scene. I know the guys had mentioned that, and lights were rattling, that the little quit there, but I agree with that. But I think it's kind of like, it's like they're almost behind the scenes, they're kind of doing things on the sides, like spy missions, things like that, making alliances here and there, and putting together a rebel force.
Well, I thought it was interesting that they mentioned the Jedi in that little snippet, because
what did that rub you the wrong way?
No, because
how can the Jedi rise?
Yeah,
the dark times.
Yeah, but you have to really realize that it's going to be a little bit more cyclical than just Vader, conquered all the Jedi and that's it. So, and obviously Obi-Wan and how we were presented A New Hope is that he was the only one left. But is it that reasonable? I mean, these were smart people. And they were trained to survive. So I think that I would like to see, as I imagine that we'll see some tie-ins that will try and tie into the sequel trilogy somehow. And we know there's a story group. We know they're planning. And they're doing this all in concert. And I think that's the best thing. And I think that we'll get some stories out of Rebels. It's aimed at kids. They want to bring kids into this. And so I'm pretty sure we're going to see this. It's on Disney XD. They know who they're marketing to. And I don't think they'll dumb it down completely, but I think we're going to see some simplistic stories sort of in the vein of the Youngling arc on the Clone Wars.
Oh, that would be nice.
I think that arc was in there for a reason. I think that was, as far as I can tell, done later in the process, and they were trying a different style out. And we do know that the Clone Wars didn't necessarily, there were some crazy stories in there that you wouldn't have done if you were doing a show just to make money.
True.
Like the existential droids arc. Yeah, and the funny thing was the season before that, that they had done two droids episodes in a row, and people after the second one were like, oh man, that was too much. And then they came back the next season with four episodes on droids. Now, no network television in their right mind would have just said, yeah, come back with four episodes of something that didn't go over well last season. Nor would have, there was a lot of, the Clone Wars did a lot of things. It took advantage of the fact that it had a patron in George Lucas, and he wanted to tell certain stories. And so he did it. And so now they're under Disney's umbrella, and now they have to make money. So George Lucas wanted to make money, but he had different goals too. So he's a little bit of his own patron of the arts too.
Right.
And so I think Rebels is going to be, Dave Filoni worked on the Avatar series. Mm-hmm. And then we have Greg Wiseman, who did the Spider-Man.
And Young Justice, which is phenomenal.
Yes. And those are very arc driven. You know, they're short,
Well-rounded characters too.
Yes, with good characters, and they manage to squash a lot of it. So I think we're going to see a little bit of a simplistic story, but if you look at it, you'll find some really great. I mean, these people who are writing this are like just immersed in Star Wars. They grew up on it, so they sort of can just, you know, spew it out in storytelling. So,
not worried when people say this that are concerned about the voiceover and what audiences are they going to Disney-fy this, which I know you talked about on the most recent Assembly of Geeks. What does that even mean, that they're going to have great storytelling and make a lot of money?
Well, no, I don't. But see, Disney does really good things with their stories.
Yes.
They aren't always simple. And I mean, Pirates of the Caribbean didn't. I mean, it wasn't what, I don't know what Disney-fied means.
Exactly. So. I think it means that they think it's something from the 60s where mice talk and your dress changes from blue to pink.
I mean, come on. The Avengers was like,
yes.
I think, you know, maybe they're worried that they'll take some of the really deep continuity and canon layers out of it. But I don't know. I mean, the stuff they did in the Clone Wars was pretty, worked in some good stuff. And I think we'll get that. So
especially like the Mortis trilogy and things like that.
I think if you start fearing it now, and this is what I think. I think it's good that people say what their fears are. And the fear in saying Disneyfication, I think Disney actually understands what people are saying. So
they do.
When they say that. So I think they understand that we don't want this to be Cinderella. But Disney's really told some progressive stories. They've had some flops in their movies too, but when all things taken in consideration, they did some really good things in storytelling.
And there's a reason that Disney's been around since 1923. Like you said, they make mistakes, but more often than not, they hit it out of the park and everything is lining up pretty well. I think that's a knee-jerk reaction when they're not really thinking about the quality that is out there. And Dave Filoni and Kathleen Kennedy and company, they're not going to let anything bad happen to their golden child. They're not going to let Star Wars go astray. Star Wars has a renaissance now that is probably bigger than when Episode 1 was getting ready to come out.
I'm hoping that Rebels will give us some things for a lot of people to jump into Star Wars, and that they'll be able to build maybe in the comics and the books and give us some more things that would get into some of the, you know, kind of the darker character building stuff that we would like to see. That's kind of what I think everything's going to be tied together. That's the impression I get. You know, when they talk about the story group, I think everything they're doing is going to come from that. And it's all going to be about building towards a sequel trilogy. So it's all going to be coordinated. And so we're probably going to be like, wow, Rebels. Oh, wow. We're just overwhelmed.
I hope you're right. I think there's a strong possibility of that as well.
You know, and the funny thing is, with the Clone Wars, at least they showed us a lot of stuff in advance, and they did a lot of interviews and did a lot of talking, but they managed to still surprise us in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, of course, the big thing was they had to change the lightsaber color in one of the last teaser trailers for the Clone Wars, because people would have known that it was Barriss.
Oh, yeah.
One of the lightsabers that Anakin had in his hands. So they're smart enough to know that if you put too much out there, the fans will figure it out. So,
oh, absolutely. They'll be on Twitter in 5 seconds.
I know. I'm sure they were like, well, we have to figure out, we have to screen cap this and figure out if, you know, lightsaber rattling will figure out what's on this.
Yes.
So they know where the fans are smart.
Corey, what are your hopes for the series?
My hopes are, like Trisha said, I hope it does connect everything up. I hope that we see some great character builds, some new characters. I hope it leads right into A New Hope and just a really nice, in-between storytelling as far as where the characters have come from Clone Wars and up into the films. But yeah, I think it'd be nice to see a transition there. I'm excited for it because, like you said, Trisha, it's going to be a big joining of the whole saga itself. And I hope that we even see things from, you know, episode 7, 8, and 9 in this series, just kind of tidbits and things to say, oh, that was cool. They had that back in Rebels. And I remember seeing that episode where they had that character. Now here he is in the film, or he or she or whoever. I think it'd be really cool to be able to do that, connect everything together. And I think, like we've said all along, Disney's a good job. They're a powerhouse and they can bring the meat and potatoes to everything. And I think they're going to really set up a great storytelling script here, and I think it's going to all come together, and we're going to really enjoy it.
Well, again, there's a lot of good people behind the scenes that are driving the sled, so to speak. So there's so much potential there, and I agree. I hope that we build to these intriguing character studies, but you make it entertaining. It is for a different audience. We're not quite sure yet, and honestly, we don't really know. But the future is bright, Star Wars fans. So if you are someone who's a little bit panicked, I don't think you should worry, because we're in a really good place as far as being Star Wars fans. Well, thank you again to Trisha Barr for joining us on our very first Star Wars Rebels Reactions. And Corey and I will be giving our reviews of each episode once they premiere next year in April 2014. And hopefully Trisha will come on and join us on occasion to join us for Rebels Reactions and talk about the exciting things coming from Lucasfilm and Disney Animation.
Oh, I'd love to.
Well, thanks again to our listeners, and we look forward to hearing from you. And let us know your thoughts on the teaser trailer on coffeewithkenobi.com, or reach out to Trisha on Fangirl Blog, and you can reach Trisha on Twitter at
Fangirl Cantina.
So we all look forward to hearing your thoughts, and join us again next time for Star Wars Rebels Reactions, and of course on our regular show Coffee with Kenobi. This is the podcast you're looking for.
If you'd like to respond to a question on our show, or have a comment, or would just like to say hello, send us an email at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or visit us on the web at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review on iTunes. You can like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date on our Twitter feed at twitter.com/coffeewithkenobi. If you enjoy the jazz music, download the album Eye to Eye by Steve Torok on iTunes.
Give the evacuation code signal.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited and is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi, unless otherwise indicated.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.